الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بهذه دعوة تامة وصلة قائمة آتي محمد الفضيلة والرسيلة إنك لا توقف معك فإن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خير لهم. My brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. You know, Islam has a very extremely high intellectual standard. Not only is the standard of the morality very high, it's a very high standard of morality, very potent standard of morality, but it also has a very high intellectual standard, because the intellectual standard of Islam is based upon one, La ilaha illallah. Two, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because it's based on those two things, it's based upon the things that emanate from those two. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have His kitab. So when the Prophet says, in astaq hadith kitabullah, sadqa Rasulullah, he's telling the truth. But not only is it the most truthful of speech, it's the highest level of thinking that a human being could ever attain in this life. If your thinking is in congruence, meaning it agrees with the kitab, meaning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so and so and so and so, no matter what you thought prior to that, you immediately update your thinking. You know how you go on your web page and you update it to get the new thing going on? If you immediately upgrade your thinking to agree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have reached the highest level of thought in that particular matter. No one else, I don't care if he has 10 PhDs, I don't care if he wrote 100 books, he can't come with anything higher than your level. Likewise, with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, If you take a hadith that's sahih, that's mafhum, that's an authentic hadith, in the proper understanding of our ulama and of our salaf and of the Muslim ummah, and you say, I'm going to adopt this hadith as part of my ideology, then there's no higher standard of conduct that you could muster. I don't care if it's your boy in the street. I don't care if it's your neighbor. I don't care if it's your teacher at the university. You have come with the best that human beings can have. Somebody was telling me this morning, they said, Imam, there was a report, because we always hear about these studies that are being done, that if a person eats 5 days out of the week, but they fast for 2 days out of the week, then the body would naturally start to go back to its proper weight over time. And I'm saying to myself, subhanAllah, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam already advised us of fasting Mondays and Thursdays for 1400 years. And anything that people can come up with, anything that any human being on the planet Earth can come up with, mark my words, if it has benefit in it for human beings, I will find it. It will be in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This has been proven so many times. They said if you do so and so and so. Yeah, well, the Prophet already said so and so and so and so. Yeah, we studied. We spent $2 million on the study. They said if you do so and so and so and so. Well, the Prophet already said so and so and so and so and so. The mission of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was invitation. That's what made him a messenger. Ida'a risala. Fulfilling the delivery of the message. This is very important for Muslims. A lot of the loss of prestige of Muslims in the world goes back to this particular principle I'm going to tell you about today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "Kuntu khayru ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." He says, you are the best nation extracted out to the people. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that this ummah, this nation, the nation of Muslims, of believers, they're the best nation that he has delivered to human beings. خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. But not just because we say that we're Muslims. There are conditions about being Muslim. You just can't say you're Muslim and do any old thing. No. We have Sharia. We have Sunnah. We have laws, we have principles, and these are principles that have been sent down to us from above seven heavens. They're high standards. It's a high standard of principle, high standard of living, high standard of family, high standard of value in the way that we get down. So what is it that makes the ummah khayra ummah? Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. These three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. One, you enjoin the good. Two, you forbid the evil. Three, you believe in Allah. Now, I'm going to explain to you how this works. Enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, and believing totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foundation, according to our ulama, according to Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir on this verse, also tafsir Tabri, Alusi, Ibn Kathir, Sufyan al-Thawri, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Ibn Abbas. So many people have commented on this particular verse. And they all say that this was the wazifa, this was the occupation of all the prophets. All the prophets that ever came, they came with this mission. We're here to invite you to good, to enjoin the good, and to forbid the evil. This is why one of the principles of usul al-fiqh is iqrar al-rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the acquiescence of the messenger. That in fiqh and Islami, in orthodox fiqh, and this is something that all of the four madhahib view, if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw something occur in his presence, if something happened and he didn't say, wait a minute, you can't do that, don't do that, this is not allowed, automatically it's considered to be permissible. It's considered to be part of his sunnah, because it's not permissible for any prophet to allow something to go across his table, across his, you know, where he can see it's going on, and not say something about it if it's prohibited. That's part of his job as a prophet. It's part of the Muslim's job to declare what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. This is what makes the Muslim higher quality beneficial to the people. We're not beneficial to human beings trying to be like everybody else. You're not really beneficial to someone. Well, I don't want him to get mad at what I'm going to say. No, we're supposed to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. In another verse, Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says, let there be from amongst you a group of people who call to good. And calling to the good, that's calling to Islam. That's calling to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's calling to Iqam al-Salat. That's calling to giving zakat. That's calling to Siyam al-Ramadan. That's calling to honoring the parents. That's calling to honoring the orphan, taking care of the orphan, taking care of the poor, speaking the truth, walau mur, even if it's bitter. The Muslim whole personality, get down, brothers and sisters. Your job as a Muslim, to be a true Muslim, to be of the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Because when he talked about those who enjoin good and forbid evil, he says, وَأُولَيْكَ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These people are successful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes your presence on the planet has worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your presence there, your life to Allah has worth. Making a whole lot of money by itself doesn't make you worthy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being real smart don't make you worthy. Not by itself. But enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, this is what gives quality to the ummah. You know, Allah mentions in the Quran, he says, لُعْنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودُ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. He says that the people who rejected faith from Bani Israel, the nations that came before the Islamic nation, they were cursed by the tongue of Dawood, the prophet David, and the prophet Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi masalam. And then he mentions why. Why did they curse them? He said, ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. He says, that is because They disobeyed and used to transgress. Now, let me tell y'all something. This is how Ummah of Islam, how Muslims, this is how we degenerate. Because people don't degenerate overnight. It takes a while. Even if you're Muslim, to degenerate, you can either regenerate or degenerate. You degenerate by committing small acts that are wrong. You commit this act. Nobody's saying nothing to you. Nothing's being said. You know how when you do something wrong, ain't nobody watching you, ain't nobody saying anything, or somebody see you doing it, and they acquiesce to it, or the brother know you got a girlfriend, you shacking up, and they're like, okay, yeah, well, who's that? That's my girl. Okay, mashallah. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's how people be getting down. But you start to degenerate to the point where you do major sin, or even to the point where you may even consider that sin you're doing not to be sin after all, which case you exit out of the religion. Because anybody who believes that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in any verse in the Quran is not valid, it's not the truth, it's not haq, he is an unbeliever. That's unbelief. According to our principles of our faith, we have an aqidah in our faith. We have a theology in Islam. But you start to do more sin. Like Allah mentions the Quran about Bani Israel, he says, وَيَقْتُلُوا الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. He says, and they killed the prophets without just cause. But they did that because they had already started to disobey and used to transgress. And it led them up to killing. So he says about the Bani Israel, he said, ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. That was because they used to disobey, Allah, and transgress. Then he said something, Allah mentioned something very significant. He said, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاحَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا. He said, because they used to not prohibit the evil that went on amongst them. لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Evil is what they have done. And this is how a people lose their worth. This is how an average Muslim loses his worth. Everybody's not going to agree with you when you're enjoying good. Everybody's not going to love it. Everybody's not going to love you. But they're going to respect that you stand for something. He says, yeah, well, here come that Muslim. You know, they're going to say, okay, everybody put down the alcohol. Put your weed out because that Muslim coming. Okay, alhamdulillah. You know, even when sitting on the side of the road, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَجُلُوسُ فِي الطُّرْقَاتِ. He said, I warn you from sitting on the side of the road. He said, Ya Rasulullah, sitting on the side of the road, this is how we sit out and talk and so on. And the Prophet said, إِلَّا أَنْ أَبَيْتُمْ. Well, if you insist and refuse not to sit on the road, He said, فَأْتُوا تُرِقَ حَقَّ. Give the road its just due. And he said, what does this do, Ya Rasulullah? He said, غَطُّ الْبَصَر. Lowering your gaze. If you're going to be out on the road, lower the gaze. رَدُّ السَّلَامِ. Return the salams if somebody gives you salams on the road. Kafal adha. To hold back from doing, causing any harm. And then he said, wal amru bil ma'roof wa nahyun al munkar. He says, and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. That's the right. That's the right of the road. Has that right. Because the creation that we live amongst, and your brothers and sisters, if I see a brother and I'm aware of his condition, and I see the brother, you're doing this, you're doing that, this is going on in your life, this leading you to the hellfire, his right upon me Did I say something to him? Did I stop him? Say, brother, hold up, brother. It's not intrusion into your business. We don't get into people's personal business that we don't see, that we don't hear about, we know nothing about. The Prophet said, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i taraku ma la ya'ni." The good of a person's religion is in leaving alone that which does not concern them. But if you see this is going on, if you see things going on in your environment, in society, it's the right of the creation, because Allah has made us Muslims. He sent the kitab to us. He made the Prophet our prophet. We take ownership of this guidance. The guidance of Islam is our inheritance. So when you inherit that, you have an obligation to give the message to the creation. And the basis of that message is calling to good, enjoining good, and forbidding evil. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkara." Whoever amongst you sees that which is evil, then he should change it with his hand. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. And if he's unable to do that, he should change it with his tongue. If you can't change it with his hand, change it with your tongue. If he can't do that, if the Prophet said, if he's unable to do that, then he should hate it in his heart. Now, he didn't say hate it in his heart. He says, وَبِقَلْبِهِ, by his heart. Change it by his heart. Well, do you change it by disliking it? No. But you do, when you change it by disliking it in your heart, when you dislike evil in your heart, but you're unable to change it in this instance, maybe in the next instance, see, you still dislike it in your heart. Your heart is still already inclined to change it. I want to change it this time, but I can't. I'm unable. I want to change it with my tongue, but I can't. I'm unable. But my heart is still inclined against the evil. So when the opportunity comes, I'm still going to move to change it, inshallah. This is part of a believer. Then he said, changing in your heart, he says, وَذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the weakest of faith. And then in another narration, he said, outside of that, he doesn't have the worth of faith as much as حَبَّةُ الْخَرْدَلِ, a mustard seed. Because when Muslims, now who else, brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question, who else on the planet has our guidance? Who else? Who, the psychologists? The educators? Sacramento Unified School District? I mean, no, seriously, who else can offer people the guidance? We can look at our neighborhoods and see the quality of life in families. You can see the teenage pregnancy. You can see the thug mentality. You can see children talking to their parents like the parents are the children. We see this every day right in front of our face. We see people marking up their face with 20, 30 different nose ring, ear ring. I still can't get over the dude with the earring from the nose to the ear. To nose, lip. I just still can't get over that. Every time I see that, I'm like, subhanAllah. Yeah. Who else can offer the people the guidance? Muslims have an obligation of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Each personal Muslim has a limited obligation, at least, to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. One time, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he said, one time we were sitting with Umar. He was Khalifa, Umar ibn Khattab. And Umar said, does anybody remember what the Prophet said about people's trials and afflictions, the things that they do wrong every day with their family and so on? So then Hudhayfa said, I remember it, and I remember exactly what he said. So Umar said to Hudhayfa, he said, it's no doubt, Hudhayfa, you're pretty bold. So Hudhayfa said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, that the affliction that a man experiences, the minor sins that you, every day that you experience with your wife, with your family, with your money, with your neighbors, he said, these things are expiated by three things. He said, one is the salawat al-khams, your five prayers. Two is paying zakat. He said, three is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. See, enjoining the good has high value for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, la khayra fi kathir min fi kathir min najwakum illa man amara whom? Exactly, okay. Illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayna an-nas. La khayra fi kathir min najwahum illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayna an-nas. He said, there's no good. Listen to what Allah is saying. There's no good in most of what you discuss amongst yourselves privately. And most of your conversations, except for the one who's enjoining charity, encouraging charity, al ma'rufin, enjoining a good deed, or enjoining islahin bayna an-nas, bridging the gap between the people. Because these are things that are worthy. Makes your life worthy, makes your life valuable. Now you may say, Imam Luqman, are you saying that Muslims, you know, should be the kind of holy roller preaching all the time, talking about Allah, talking about religion, talking about righteousness? And my answer is yeah. That's what, how we're supposed to be as Muslims. We're not supposed to be secularists. That wasn't the objective of Islam, to be secularist. When I say secularist, meaning that we're totally about the dunya, that we disregard commands from our Lord. We disregard scripture. I hate how Muslims disregard scripture. Because it places us in a very, very bad state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the bad things that have come on our ummah could be attributed to that. Like Allah says in Quran, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. He says, be sincere, ardent worships by virtue, تَعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ, by virtue of what you're teaching of the book, and by virtue of what you're studying. How many of us really actually go home, when you go home, when you're not in the masjid, okay, you're not in the masjid today, you're home with your wife, with your children, with your mother-in-law, and actually say to your family, hey, well, let me tell you what this verse said right here, what Allah said right here. Hold up. Turn that down. May I have that turn at all? Because we're going to read some Kitab Allah in this house right now. I'm not saying all day. No. But how many do that? Can you really go all week without talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many people allow evil to go? The Prophet talked about that person. He's called him, you know, a duyuth. The person who allows evil to go on in your home. How can you do that and still claim Islam? Enjoining good and forbidding evil, it starts at home. You think it's going to make you the bad guy, but I'm telling you, if the person has faith, especially when you're enjoining the good and forbidding the evil amongst believers, they will thank you for it later on. I know. In California, they got the mentality, you know, that you can't, what they say, you know, you can't You can't judge. You can't judge me. Right? That's what everybody says. Well, who am I to judge? He's doing this. He's beating his wife. He's doing so and so, but I can't judge. No, we can't judge as akhirah, but we can make a judgment about actions that go on every day. Allah says, "Afu hukmu jahiliyati yabghun." From an ahsan min Allahi hakam li qawmin yu'minun. He says, do you want the ruling or the judgment of jahiliyyah? No, you have to be decisive to be a true Muslim. You don't have to be fanatical. Allah says, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. He says, there's no compulsion in religion. Truth is clear from falsehood. But we have to give people the opportunity to hear the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hear our position on these issues. When a Muslim acquiesces to the life of wrongdoing and the people of wrongdoing, it affects your faith in very, very significant ways. Allah says, لَن تَجِدَ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ هَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِرَتَهُمْ. He says, you will never find, and this is for you brothers and sisters who still have problems with making alliances with people who don't believe or are opposed to your faith. Because I see the struggle with some of the brothers and sisters trying to find the right way, okay? We deal with non-Muslim environment. How close do we do? Do I roll with them? As my bosom buzzy? No, you don't do that. Do I disrespect them? No, you don't do that either. Allah says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. He says, Allah does not forbid you from being kind and just to those people who do not kick you out of your houses and fight you in your religion. For verily he loves the just. So the Islamic standard of conduct is that I'm kind and I'm just and I'm fair and I'm helpful and I'm forgiving and merciful and generous, Muslim or non-Muslim. If I'm working with this non-Muslim someone, I'm generous, I'm helpful. Well, what you need a lift? What you got, a flat tire? Let me get my jacked out my car and so and so. What you need some money for a new tire, man? Alhamdulillah. That's Islam. But however, taking you as my close bosom buddy, as my partner, as my Khalil. No. You can't do that, brothers and sisters. Why? Because you start to resemble the same ideology and thinking of those people. If this wasn't the case, if I had not seen this over the years, how had it affected the Muslim and their thinking, I wouldn't say that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'u ala dini khalili. He says the person will be upon the religion of his close friend. So therefore, each one of you should look closely to see who do you befriend. Just because I may not have love for a person to me, I can't be just to them. If you're opposing Allah and opposing His messenger, and if your lifestyle and the way you live, what you stand for, the family value you stand for, what you are about on a daily basis. And you're knowingly, openly opposing the very faith that Allah holds upon and what the Allah gave us out of His ni'mah. No, I don't have love for you. No. Can I help you in something? Yes. I ain't gotta love you though. I'm not gonna take you as a bosom buddy. I'm going to give you the nasiha, give you the advice. If the person is a believer, when you enjoin good and forbid evil, maybe they may not take it, but it benefits them in the long run because Allah, who's upon it, said, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He says, remind them. For verily remembrance benefits the believer. So this is why believers have to roll with believers, brothers. Y'all know why? Y'all ain't heard me say that in years. I used to say that 10, 12 years ago. And then astaghfirullah, I started to soften up with the modern views, the moderation, I guess after 9/11. That jolted some Muslims because it was, you can see certain levels of extremism in our community. But to go back to what Allah said, no. You have to stand for what this ummah is about. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَوْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونُ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. He said, and in this way, we have made you أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a middle, upright, a balanced nation. Listen to what Allah is saying. We have made you a balanced nation. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that you can bear witness over the people. Because while we're on the planet now, see, everybody takes their turn. Every ummah of Islam, we take our turn. This is our turn. We can't go back on what they did back then. Allah says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْعَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. He said, these are nations that have already passed. They'll get for what they did, you're going to get for what you do. But you won't be asked about what they did. Every Muslim generation has their own particular individual challenge. American Muslims, we have our particular individual challenge in the face of deteriorating morality. We're challenged. Here we are, right in the middle of it. It's in our families. It's in our extended families, in our homes. It's affecting our children. It's right there. The evil is right on past the doorstep, already came in the door, already sat in the living room, already in the kitchen, eating, already up in the bedroom. So you're challenged with that. You can either say, well, you know, I don't want to judge nobody. You can do that. Or you can say, I'm going to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. I'm going to resist the evil. I'm going to seek out the good. And I'm going to be patient with what I may endure when I do that. Luqman said to his son, Ya bani aqim as-salata. Wa'mur bima'rufi. Wanha 'anil munkari. Wasbir 'ala ma asabak. Inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur. He says, oh my son, this is the advice from Luqman. It's mentioned in the Quran. And this is a man. He was not a prophet, but he was someone clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him wisdom. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ حِكْمَةَ أَنْ يَشْكُرَ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. He says, verily we have given Luqman wisdom. to be thankful to Allah, and whoever is thankful, he only thanks him for his own self. So Luqman had a son, and he's giving, if you read Surah Luqman, you can see parts where he's giving advice to his son. And one of the most significant parts of the advice, he says, Ya Bunayya. And he didn't say Ya Ibni. See, in Arabic, if you say Ya Bunayya, that's Altaf min Ibni. Ibni's like, oh my son. Ya Bunayya means, oh my son. It's the same word in translation. But when he say Bunayya, just like, hey, I'm compassionate to you. You know, I love you, I care about you. Ya Bunayya, aqim as-salata. Establish the prayer. Wa'mur bima'rufi. Enjoin the good. Wanha 'anil munkar. Forbid the evil. Wasbir 'ala ma asabak. And be patient with what's going to happen to you when you do that. Inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur. Because this is of azm al-umur. It's the most determined of positions. I mean, that you're taking a manly position, son. You're taking a solid position. You enjoin the good, you forbid the evil, and you just be patient with what may befall you. The best way of enjoining good is enjoining by the Qur'an. Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَا يُخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. Warn people with the book, whoever fears his threat. Muslims have to be people of the Kitab. That's the thing. It hurts me when I see a Muslim tell me about some psycho babble you done read and some... What the? It kills me. The thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the highest possible level of thinking that any human being can be, because Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَىٰ. He's not speaking on his own hawa, his whim. What he's speaking is an inspiration inspired to him. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, La yu'min ahadukum. Yeah, and you say, man, why you keep quoting Quran and Hadith? Brothers, let me tell you something. I'm about that. I'm letting you know right now. I'm about Kitab and Sunnah. That's what I believe. I believe the Quran, I believe the Sunnah. I believe the Quran is the truth. It is the haq from Allah. Allah is the only God. He is the true God. What he says is true. He knows everything. He knows about everyone, every condition, every time. He has the beautiful names that we call him by. I believe that. And anything that goes contradictory to what God says in his book, I am a disbeliever in it. I bear witness, Allah Mashhad. Seriously, the Prophet said, none of you have truly believed. None of you have truly believed. Hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'itu bihi. None of you have truly believed until his hawa, your whim, is in agreement to what I've come with. Now, I've heard people say, Imam Luqman, I don't want to lose my personality in Islam. Well, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, sister. You need to check and see if you really want to be a Muslim. Because in Islam, that's what we do. We give up parts of our personality to become a slave and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're submitting. You still retain certain aspects of your personality, yeah. But for a believer, a big chunk of who you are is going to be transformed into being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, I'm this and that. Now, I'm funny, but I'm still a servant. I'm serious, but I'm still a servant. I'm fat, but I'm still serving. I'm skinny, but I'm still serving. I'm a health nut, but I'm still serving. I like beef, but I'm still serving. I like to joke around, play with my little kids, but I'm still serving. I'm more serious with my kids, but I'm still a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we still pattern ourselves after the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So enjoining good and forbidding evil, brothers, is not a simple task. And you should stick to the areas that you know that we agree upon, that Muslims agree upon. You don't enjoin good in areas that there's maybe difference of opinion amongst the scholars, it's not too clear. And you don't go trying to beat somebody down with something that there's khilafi, there's difference of opinion in it, no. But the major thing, the advantage we have, this is the advantage, brothers and sisters. I'm going to say this last point. The advantage that we have as Muslim Americans right now is because evil, because Shaitan has been given a free pass. Shaitan got so friendly with him. They got Shaitan cartoons. He just come out and say, they got Shaitans looking handsome, Hollywood, haircut and everything. They got movies and stuff. I'm the devil, and he got on GQ the shoes and everything. Driving a Maserati. Who you? I'm devil. They had a movie called The Devil's Advocate. You know, I'm a devil. I'm a lawyer. I'm an attorney. Attorneys go, okay, maybe. But what I'm saying is that evil has become so blatant. When it's blatant, it's a little easier to repel it. That's what I'm saying. So we can take old time, leave it to Beaver, Wally Cleaver type of approach. Anybody know about leave it to Beaver? Okay, I'm telling my age. Okay. We can take the most simplistic approach now in challenging the devil. We can tell a person simply, get married. Don't fornicate. Because he's like, fornication is okay. We can tell him simply, men and women is not man and man. Simply, we can say clearly, don't drink, because he's told on himself. They've already done these research and these studies that already has showed all of the disastrous effects of sin that we already knew in the Kitab, but now he told on himself because he did the study to say, we've showed that people who drink alcohol are more likely to do this, people that use drugs are more likely to do this, people who have children at wedlock is more likely this child's going to have this so-and-so happen, people who curse their kids is more likely it's going to happen, people that do this, people who steal is more likely it's so-and-so. It showed all the pathology. So for Muslims, we don't have to get any elaborate tafsir in order to oppose the shaitan. You keep it simple. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفروا إنه هو غفور رحيم غفور رحيم ربنا اغفر ربنا اغفر ربنا اغفر ربنا اغفر ربنا اغفر الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للسر حي للفر قد قامت السنة قد قامت السنة
Astaqimu yarhamakum wa thabakum Allah. Brothers and sisters, make sure your lives are straight and connected. Sisters, make sure your lives are straight, that they're connected, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وفي الأرض قطع متجابرات وجنات من أعناب وزرع ونخيل سوان وغير سوان يسقى بماء واحد ونفضل بعضها على بعض في الأكل إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون. وإن تعجب فعجب قولهم أئذا كنا ترابا أئنا لفي خلق جديد أولئك الذين كفروا بربهم وأولئك أغلال في أعناقهم وأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. ويستعجلونك بالسيئة قبل الحسنة وقد خلت من قبلهم المثلات وإن ربك لذو مغفرة للناس على ظلمهم وإن ربك لشديد العقاب. ويقول الذين كفروا لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه إنما أنت منذر ولكل قوم هاد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم ثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر انظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما لهم من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters, here's what we got going on. Just a couple announcements. One, the new Muslim class, they're in the last class, but that's next Tuesday, then they graduate after that. The weekend school starts at 10 o'clock. If your children aren't enrolled, you can still enroll. You can go online to www.mashibrahim.com to get information about that. The Arabic class is going on, Sheikh?
Yes.
Arabic class is on Thursdays. We have a bake sale going on. Anybody's interested in my new book, it's also for sale outside, inshallah ta'ala. And here's the thing that we need on this property right now. What we are raising money for is to put the fence around the property and to put the signage up on the property. So we're trying to raise about $2,500 for that particular purpose. We're still talking to the architect and the engineer. The reason why we haven't come out with the big fundraiser, because we don't know how much is going to cost for the phase one of the project. But there will be a community meeting in 2 or 3 weeks for people who have questions, but we're still collecting money for people to want to support the project of the new masjid down the street. But we're in the preliminary stages. We're still trying to figure out costs. So we want to say that when we do raise the money, we know this is how much money we're raising. This is our target. And this is what it's for, so we can take it in the proper stages. So it's harder to raise money. We say, hey, we need money for new masjid. We need, $1 million. That's what we need, $1 million. So, but outside of that, we have to take it step by step. But for right now, we are raising money for the fence. So anybody who wants to contribute to that particular point, you can see me. If you can't find me, you can talk to Abdullah, you can talk to Amin. Okay, so jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we also wanted to mention... Ask brothers and sisters, please, to pray for brother Hassan Abdulmalik. He's been very ill. He's been rehospitalized at Sutter. Inshallah, we pray for him and his family. And I believe he's able to have visitors there. So those who are able, Hassan Abdulmalik, they're from New York. He was out of the hospital, but he's back in now. And they're asking that people please make dua for him. And also those who are able can visit. Inshallah, to add it. A brother just mentioned to me also the Jazakallah Khairan. Thank you to everyone who's been able to visit Brother Mujahid Charles. He's actually doing much better. He's still in convalescent, but his strength is improving, and he's thankful for the visits and the phone calls. So let's continue with that. Daylight savings time is this week, inshallah ta'ala, Sunday. Prayer times will remain the same for today and tomorrow, but on Sunday, the prayer times will all change. The Adhan for Fajr will be at 6:15, the Iqamah at 6:30. For Dhuhr, 1:15 and 1:30. Asr, 4:45 and 5 o'clock. Maghrib will be around 7:10 p.m. Isha, Adhan will be 8:30 and the Iqamah will be 8:45. Juma time remains the same. We'll update the board, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow night. Jazakallah khairun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.